Turn with me in the book of Philippians. We're going to read from the fourth chapter, and we'll read from verse 6 through verse 9. God has put something very simple in my spirit tonight, but if applied, can be powerful. And I just appreciate His presence. I feel His presence right now. It's powerful. It can be life-changing. It's something that can bring comfort to you if you'll just receive it. Let me read this to you. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Somebody say, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Amen. I find it by no coincidence that the Lord has begun to speak about praying. It is something that it is the most free and abundant gift that we all as Christians possess. Yet it is one of the least utilized tools in our shed. It's one of the things that if we only would but do it, we would see results begin to happen. But as we do not do it, we do not receive. For the Bible says we have not because we ask not. I know that in my life, that when I begin to face things that are in present trouble and turmoil, that the one thing the enemy does not want me to do is to get down and ask God for some help. When I get pressed against the wall and the enemy is taunting me and talking about me, causing rumors to be heard about me, the one thing he doesn't want me to do is to get down and call out in prayer. When my loved ones begin to be persecuted, when things begin to go wrong around them, the one thing the devil doesn't want to come out of your mouth is a sincere heart's prayer before the Lord. Because if you can get to a word of prayer, it can begin to change things in your life. Let that word be confirmed to you tonight that prayer does in fact change things. But the way that God spoke it to me on Tuesday was that prayer is the awakening of the soul, that prayer brings life where life is no more, that prayer begins to restore the things that are broken. Prayer begins to move mountains that seem unmovable. Prayer begins to tear down the walls that seem to stand so high. Prayer causes giants to be slain when all that you've got is a stone. Prayer causes the enemy to tremble when you begin to take authority over the things that God has already given for you to take authority with. Prayer causes you to be a different person, causes you to talk a different way, causes you to act a different way, causes you to be a little bit more happy, a little bit more with joy, a little dance in your step, a little bit more of a reason to live, a little bit of purpose, a little bit of power, and most of all, a little bit of praise. So I find it no coincidence when she started talking about prayer, I said, oh Lord, you really want us to get a hold of this. This is what God gave me. Be patient with me. One of the reasons Jesus taught us to pray, give us our daily bread, was because he wanted us to build up a barrier against ingratitude, ungratefulness. Unless we continually fight to be thankful and humble, then we lose the fact that we are creatures of need. And in our pride, the enemy begins to infiltrate. How many of you can relate to that tonight? That you begin to go through something, and the less and less that you pray, the more and more ground it seems like that the devil gets in on your situation. How many of you can relate to that tonight? We've all been there. We've all felt frustration. We've all had the enemy come in and destroy what the little bit that we had built up. But you know, when you stack up all the good things that you've got, when it's compared to God, it's nothing. When you stack up everything you've ever done in your life, when you say, I've done all these good things, but yet they're still lost, that tells me that nothing good that we can do is going to make a difference. You can tell me that you've attended church for 20 years, but let me ask you, what have you been praying for all the years that you've been attending somewhere? What have you been asking for to see a difference made in? If you're just coming and looking for something to happen, if you're just coming and looking for something to maybe bless you, then you're missing out on the whole point of what God gave you. Let's read one more place. As prayer awakens the soul, the spirit comes alive. And as the spirit comes alive, faith is provoked unto works. You'll begin to do something if you begin to pray. You'll begin to be more active if you begin to pray. And I'm talking about something that is as simple as simply just saying, God, I need your help. You know why God is sending this word at this hour? Because we're going weeks before we ever get down and ask for God to help us. We're going months before we ever finally realize we can't do it and get down and say, God, I need you. We're waiting too long. And all those that hang in the balance around us perish because we do not act upon the power that we have been appointed to do. And those that go and fight the good fight, they're having to pray just to keep you alive. They're having to pray just to keep people in the pews. They're having to pray just to keep a pastor in their church. They're having to pray just to keep a praise band. If that's the things that we're having to pray for, that tells me we're not doing enough praying in our own individual life. Because if you were praying enough in your individual life, I wouldn't see a frown in here tonight. If we were sincerely praying in everything that we were dealing with, you'd still be hurting, but God would cause you to smile in the middle of your pain. He said he would give you beauty for ashes. Let's read out of Matthew chapter 6. I want to read verses 6 through 8. And this was profound when God gave this to me. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain reputations as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. The central value of prayer is that prayer is not something by which we inform God of our needs and thus influence him to give us things, but it is designed to influence us. It is we who are in need of prayer and not God. Of course, God knows what we are in need of. But God knows unless we come face to face daily with the fact that we need him, that we develop a spirit of independence and begin to withdraw from him. So as we naturally don't want to admit our faults, as we naturally want to put on a covering to our nakedness as Adam and Eve did, as they naturally, it wasn't Moses that even went and buried someone that had caused a tribulation upon him. If we get to a place where we only are concerned about the things that could cause us to look wrong, to look bad, then we're only fighting for our reputation. We're only fighting for our popularity. We're only fighting for acceptance. And that's not the fight that God wanted us to fight. That's not the kind of prayer that God wants you to be praying. He doesn't want you just to worry about all the things that you need to happen in your life, but he wants you to use prayer as a way to influence you unto a better way of thinking. He wants you to use prayer to influence you so that you remember that you have authority over the enemy. He wants you to use prayer that when you begin to get down and pray, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its right way of living, and all these other things will begin to be added unto you. When I seek for righteousness, you know what it changes? It doesn't change your life. It changes mine. When I seek for the way that God wants me to live, it causes me to walk in the way that God can bless me. When I begin to let God mold me and manifest deeper in my life, it begins to let the blessings of the Holy Ghost begin to be made manifest in a way that I can receive it.
I'm not in a new house today because I gave up in my pain. I'm in a new house today because one day I said, God, make me right. God, make me cleansed. Lord, change me for the better. And out of this obedience, God has blessed me openly for the things I have gave to him in secret. We have compromise in Congress because no one wants to answer for and take a stand against the things which are immoral, that we are already being provoked for the things that we're trying to take a stand for. And if they don't give it up, they say they're going to persecute them. But how many of you know that no weapon formed against you is going to prosper? If you begin to live your life according to the way that you pray, the Lord said he'd bless you openly. I don't know if I'm only talking to one, then that's more than enough for me. But prayer isn't just to get God to give you something. Prayer is to let God change something in you. My deliverance from drugs was not as a result of God giving me material things. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, I feel like we're traveling inside where everybody's sitting right now. My deliverance didn't come because I asked for stuff. My deliverance came when I finally said, take all this wretchedness and take all this addiction. Take the things I cannot change and cleanse me by your blood. Cleanse me by your spirit. And as that spirit began to be made manifest, it caused me to put on righteousness that I would have been unworthy to have ever put on before. And the devil, in a way he used to hold me, no longer could hold me. And it wasn't no preacher down at the Baptist First Missionary anything that come and told me to change my life. But it's when I finally opened up and confessed that something had to be different, something had to give, and God, I need it in me so that I can be free.
Don't get in the pitfall of praying only for progress outside of you, because true progress in God happens from within. If you want to know if you're on your way to a blessing, just look in yourself and see how hard that things are. Because chances are, if you've asked for more faith, you're going to go through things that test your faith. How can you ever receive something greater unless you are tested therein? So if you're looking for your family to be delivered, don't find it by any coincidence that they're a little harder to deal with. If you're looking for your workplace to be better, and this one's me, don't just sit around and quarrel and complain and wonder why everything is going like it's going. Because if you're ever going to grow, it's not going to cause you to grow when the things around you get better. What causes you to grow when that which is inside of you begins to grow and to allow God to prune and to cut down the things that would destroy you. The enemy comes to devour you. I'm going to say it again. The enemy comes to devour you, and the only way that you can tell him to get off is to pray and take authority over the things that God has already. I'm saying God has already. He's already. Somebody say, look at somebody and tell them God's already give you authority. Look at somebody and tell them God's already given you authority. Glory to God. I could jump all over this place right now. He's already given you authority. You've only but got to ask. He said if you would ask, it shall be given. Somebody ought to call out and believe. Well, Lord, I'll serve you when they all come and apologize to me. Lord, I'll serve you when you get that old piano player out of the way so I can sing my song. I'll dance when everybody else will get out of my way so I can dance. The devil wants us to get deceived and discouraged by the things that we're not seeing. Because if he can get you to walk by sight, you're not walking by faith. If he can get your eyes upon what you don't appear to have, then you'll never see that by faith you will have it. Prayer is the great awakening unto your life. Prayer is the way that you can cause things to be better. I was talking to my cousin about how that things had been very heavy and very pressing in my life. This would have been things before I would have already quit my job and told them I was done. But something has changed
in my life. And I told him something, and I felt the Holy Ghost when I told him. I said, I don't want God to take this from me anymore. I want to be strong enough to bear what he trusts me to bear. I want to be able to hold a part of your load when it gets too heavy for you to carry on your own. We not only are supposed to be here for ourselves, but we're here to stand together. The Bible said not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Why did they use a temple in that day? The only thing that it was ever supposed to be was that very thing that Jesus said when he got fed up with all the money changing and all the commerce and the worldly influence that it got in the church. He said, this shall be a house of prayer. How did you receive salvation? What did you do? You prayed. How did you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost? You sought God. You prayed. Have you ever seen the Lord bless you because of something you've prayed? Somebody ought to let somebody else see your hand in here right now. Have you ever prayed and saw God move? Have you ever prayed and saw blessings come your way? If he did it once for you, bless God, that faith hasn't left you. It's only unused. It's untapped potential. That faith comes alive when you begin to get down and don't just only say, God, bless my life, but it's God, mold my life. Not only give me stuff, God wants to mold you so that you're able to bear it. If he had molded, we're going to get to why this is so important. If he had molded you with the ability to withstand it all, you would have no need to pray. If he had made us not to be creatures of need, then we'd have no need to ask. We are but only a vapor. And I don't know if you feel the same way I do, but every opportunity that God gives me to see your face again, I count it an honor. Because I know that if you're here, that all hope isn't lost yet. All hope is not lost, only unrealized. Because as you pray and you begin to surrender to God the things that hold you, then you begin to become blessed even when you don't receive it yet. Isn't it amazing how the devil can take the absence of something and cause us to stray so far from God? Yet within our hearts, when we sincerely surrender to him, we don't need anything to be satisfied. Isn't it amazing just a change in perspective? How much different that things can appear to you. When you are in a state where your nothing is a hindrance to you, then temptation will overtake. Have you ever been tempted to give up before? Oh, yeah, I'm right there. I'm sitting on your couch. You might as well make room for me. Have you ever been tempted to give up before? Somebody talk to me tonight. Have you ever been tempted just to lay everything down that you've done all your life for God? Isn't it amazing that when we don't realize how well that we have it, that how little that we seem like we have can cause us to do so little for God? I might have a few more things today than I had when he saved me, but nothing he's gave me has caused me to lose the value of when he saved me. Nothing. You can only be content with your nothing when you realize that you've got something. If you never pray, you never realize it. Mm-hmm. Somebody go, mm-hmm. If you never pray, you never realize that things are actually not as bad as you're looking at. We can make a mountain out of a molehill. And if you're weak before you ever begin the fight, I can tell you that when you actually try to pray, the enemy will put such a weight on you that you won't even be able to say the Lord God. The weight can get so heavy that without him, we don't even have the power to be able to speak. Without him, we lose the ability to live with purpose. If that were not so, we wouldn't have suicide like we do today. We wouldn't have so many people on depression and nerve medication today. If we were really taking authority over the things that God wanted to change in here, then we would begin to see authority over things out there. He said, if you would be faithful over a few things, what did he say he would make you? Somebody tell me, scholars. He said he'd make you a ruler over many. What are the few things that God's talking about? Somebody better ought to praise him right now. What are the things that God's trying to address? He's talking about the times you talk about somebody else. He's talking about the times when you disobey him. He's talking about the times when you participate in things that aren't like God. But thank God for grace. He doesn't leave us there, okay? He gives us an opportunity to pray. God is wanting to stir. This is what he showed me on Tuesday. He is wanting to bring forth an awakening in his people. You know I'm well known for just being real and saying stuff that others won't. And I'm about to. I'm almost embarrassed at times at the way that we come in so weighted down with the world that when we open up for prayer, it's embarrassing. You want to know why? Because if we didn't already know that we had the God to deliver us out of it all, then there might be a reason to pray one of those half prayers. You know, when you pray a half prayer, you only ask for stuff. You only ask for stuff. You only ask for justice over who wronged you, instead of ever asking God to let you be changed. Because sometimes they're not the problem. Sometimes they're not the issue. Sometimes it lies within. My disobedience was not as a result of Pastor such and such. My inability to get up and be willing to serve God was not your fault. So if you ever thought you hindered me, you can walk out of here lighter of load, because it's not your fault. But the longer that we go without asking for support, the longer that we go trying to fight something on our own, then the weaker that we become in our faith. The absence of prayer strengthens carnality. And as carnality is strengthened, doubt prevails. And as doubt prevails, the witness of your lips is silenced. And instead of talking about how God brought you through this, we're talking about why God didn't bring us through that. We want to be motivated to pray. We want to be motivated to worship. We want something perky enough on the music to get us excited. But when you depend on those things to bring what should already be living in you, then when it's not your song, not your sermon, too long, too loud, too radical, nothing will satisfy. Do we know what we're talking about now? If you've ever said somebody preached too long, you come try and preach sometime. And I assure you that you will be scared to death. It's not easy. And if you want people to improve, you know how you do it? You pray for them. I wish they'd sing a new song. If I've got to hear He Made a Difference just one more time. If we are in conversation about such mediocre things, what is song selection? When you've got drunks and drug addicts out there, what is how long the sermon goes? When God wants to change you to not worry about such things. This isn't me judging you. Obviously, it doesn't matter to me, because if it did, I'd turn on a stopwatch and try to get done in like dominoes 30 minutes or less. But I care about you enough to talk about the things that really are in here. And I'm not going to give you some unfair challenge out here. But I'm going to ask you to seek God for an awakening in your life.